Love it not to be with you long. I want to use for a thought today, what is the truth? What is the truth? Somebody look at your neighbor and say, what is the truth?
What is the truth?
I look at your neighbor on the other side and say, I've got to know.
I've got to know
what is the truth. And I'm interested, beloved, I'm interested here in this man, Pilate. I think just Pilate's actions alone warrant further examination. I'm interested in Pilate's pursuit of the truth. The scripture says here in verse 33, it says, and then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again. He entered into the judgment hall again. I want you to know, beloved, if you glean nothing else from the text today, I want you to get this one thing. In Pilate's pursuit of the truth, he found it necessary not just to go one time, but to go back again. See, sometimes we didn't get it the first time. We had to go back again. The scripture says Pilate went into the judgment hall. This judgment hall is the place of judgment. Here in the scripture, this word judgment means a place of decision. It was the place where a decision was to be made. It was the place where an opinion would be formed. It was the place where he would determine what everything would be. And beloved, it's not unlike the decision that we had to make ourselves at one time. If you made that decision, the Bible said that we came to a place of decision making. We came to a place in our lives where we had to make a decision. We had to determine what is right and what is wrong. We had to determine what is good and what is bad. We had to determine what is the lie and what is the truth. At some point in your life, beloved, if you have not arrived at this place yet, don't worry, it's coming. Because at some point, life circumstances are going to deal with you in such a way that at the very least, at some point, you'll become sick and tired of being sick and tired. And when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, it has a way of bringing you to this place of judgment. See, sometimes we don't come to the place of decision on our own. Sometimes our circumstances bring us to the place of decision. See, I've been trying to run away from this thing for a long time, some of you have said. But your life circumstances brought you to this place. And it don't matter how you get here, beloved. The only thing that is important is that you get here.
The Bible says,
that faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And the scripture tells us that every time we stand in front of this mirror, that we are made keenly aware, even if we're not ready for it, even if we don't accept the truth of it, we are made aware of who we were meant to be. It says when you look into this mirror, you look into a glass and you see that natural man, the man you were meant to be. Not the person that you become, but the person that God had in mind when he recreated you from the beginning. The person that God had in mind when he knew you. The scripture says that he knew you even before you came forth into this world. And every time you look into this light, this mirror, you see that person. You see? And that's encouraging, beloved, because the Bible tells us also that when God looks at us, he doesn't see what we've become. When God looks at us, God sees what he's purposed us to be. When others look at you, they might see what you've become, but God sees that powerful man of God. God sees that anointed woman of God. God sees that next president. Yeah. God sees that next CEO. God sees everything that you can be, not what you've become. The problem, beloved, is that God has had a hard time bringing us into line with what he's seen in us. We have a hard time agreeing with God. But the scripture says here that Pilate went to the judgment hall again. He didn't get the answer he wanted the first time, so he went back again. Some of you today have come to this place, and you didn't get the answer the last time, but bless God, you're in the right place today. I'm glad you came back again. Because God is going to clear up some things for you today. So if you're looking for the truth, somebody say, I'm in the right place. I'm in the right place. I'm glad you came back again. And for the people of God, beloved, see, this is what it really boils down to. It's all about truth. That's where the enemy is always able to keep us bound and keep us in strongholds. Why? Because we don't know the truth. In fact, if you really look at the scripture, that everything began when the enemy was able to convince God's man, the one that was created in his image and in his likeness, the one that was created to do good and to be good and to have God's good manifested through him. When the enemy was able to convince him of the lie, that's when this all started. And so, beloved, the truth is completely necessary for us to get back to the place where we need to be.
Amen.
The scripture tells us this way in Matthew chapter 24. He says there's going to come a time in these last days. He says there's going to rise up false Christs. There's going to rise up false prophets. There's going to rise up false teachers. And he says, and they're going to show great signs and wonders. And he says, and they shall be able. But watch this, beloved. They shall be able, if it were possible, to deceive the very elect. He didn't say, beloved, he didn't say that he would be successful in this endeavor. But the Bible tells us clearly it's not going to stop him anyway. He might not succeed in deceiving God's elect, but he's not going to stop anyway. He might not be able to keep you in bondage, but it does not mean he's not going to come after you anyway. He might not be able to tear down what God has built up, but it does not mean he's not going to stop anyway. See, the enemy is just foolish enough, beloved, because he knows the end of the story. He's already checked you out. He knows that he loses in the end. He knows that the battle has already been won. But the problem is, beloved, if he can count on the fact that you don't know it. I wish I had somebody. If he can count on the fact that you don't know it. He can keep you bound to something that you've already been freed from and you don't know it. I wish I had somebody. That's why the Bible says it's important that we know the truth. Because it's coming. It's coming. And the scripture says that as Christ prepared to go back to the Father, as he knew this was coming, the scripture said he declared to God the Father, he says, I've given them thy word.
Yeah.
He said, and the world hates them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He said, I've given them what they need to survive in this world. I've given them thy word. And he says, now that I've given them what they need, he says, I'm going to pray for them. He said, and I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but I'm praying that you leave them in the world, but keep them from evil. Somebody say, keep them from evil. He said, keep them from the lies.
Yeah.
Keep them from the cheating. Keep them from the falsehood. Keep them from the influences of the world. Keep them from allowing now the world and its ways to persuade them and interrupt the thing that you've done in their life. Keep them. Keep them, he says. Keep them. Keep them. And then he said, and sanctify them through thy truth, thy word. Is truth. He said, I've given them that word. Now sanctify them through this word of truth. And we've been talking about sanctification, beloved. In this sanctification means to be made holy. Somebody say holy.
Holy.
Holy. Sanctification means to be made holy. And holiness, beloved, is not
Don't misunderstand it. It's not self-righteousness. That's not holiness. No, holiness, beloved, is coming to a place of decision making and making the decision. I'm going to turn from everything in the world and I'm going to turn to God. It is a consecration. It is a separation. It is a making a distinction between God's people and the people of the world. And it is God's people coming to the conclusion, I need God. And I need him so much so that I'm going to give up on everything that sustained me before. I'm going to turn away from the ways of the world because they can no longer sustain my life. I'm going to turn away from the word that the world is trying to feed to me because it is no longer adequate to sustain my life. I need God. Now, the Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And God has something in mind, beloved. He says, be holy because I'm holy. He says, separate from the world and distinguish yourself in the world. He said, because when this time comes, when the world is full of lies and the world is full of darkness, he said, I need my people to stand up and have my truth manifested through my people. When everybody else is living a lie, I need my people to live the truth. And so he says, turn away from the world and turn to me. And he says, and when this happens, when life's circumstances are brought to bear, you'll have what is necessary to overcome the devices of the world. I want to tell you, beloved, that everything with God is a process. It's a process. The reason why Pilate had to come back is because it's a process. You don't just walk in the door one day and now you're righteous. The Bible says you've been declared righteous by the blood of Christ, but you're not perfect. And the Bible says that you're not even where you need to be. Well, the scripture said salvation, justification is free. But he says it's going to cost you something if you want to be empowered by this word. It's going to cost you something if you want to live life abundantly. It's going to cost you something if you want to pursue righteousness. It's going to cost you something if you really want to know the truth. Somebody say, I want to know it. I want to know it. I don't care what it costs me. I want to know the truth. Beloved, it's a process. It's a process. The Bible says that there are three steps in getting to this truth. And see, beloved, that's what the truth is all about. We have to arrive at the truth. We don't just step into the truth. You've got to arrive there. He says, first of all, there has to be an acknowledgement of the truth. There has to be an ascension to the truth. And then as I ascend to it, now he says, there's a resting in the confidence thereof. Watch this. Brother Jeremiah tells us everything that we need to know about God. Because the scripture says that it is the fear of God that is the beginning of knowledge. Brother Jeremiah says it this way. He says now that he is the true and living God. He is the true and living God. The first thing here, beloved, I want to bring to your attention, he says he's a living God. He is. He exists. That's why the scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, he says, he that would come to God, you must first believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is God. God does exist. He does live. Buddha can't claim that. Can nobody lay claim to the fact that there is a living God that is ruling and reigning over their lives but the people of the Most High God? He is a true and living God. This word living means he has life. It means he is. It means now the God that was, he still is and shall be. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. Before you ever thought of God was, Before the mountains came forth, God was. Before the earth and the world was formed, God was. Before your mama and daddy even thought about you, God was. Before you even thought about being saved, God was. It took you 38 years to come into agreement with it, but that does not mean that the truth was not the truth before you came into it. God was. When Moses said, "Who shall I tell Pharaoh that sent me?" He said, "Tell him I am sent you." This word "I am" means I am. I exist. He said, "Tell him that the God that lives sent you." Tell me, he's not messing around with some dead God. He's not messing around with some dead army. He's messing with the Most High God. He said, "Moses, tell him I am sent you." That's why God says that. God said that as we worship him, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. I often wonder, beloved, what that means. He says, when you worship me, you have to worship me like you're worshiping a God that is.
Yes.
A God that lives. A God that's true. He said, you have to worship me that way.
Yes.
So he says, number one, he is. I have to acknowledge that he is. God is. The second thing he said, God is true. God is true. The scripture tells us that God is a true God. This word "true" here, beloved, it means stability. It means firmness. It means surety. It means the real deal. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, "It's the real deal." Yeah, so we're not talking about a fake God. We're not talking about a pretend God. We're talking about the real deal. Yeah, he's the genuine article. He's the real deal. We're not talking about any old God. We're talking about the real God. We're not just talking about any old God. We're talking about the God who sets high yet looks low. That's the God that I'm talking about. Is there anybody in the house that knows this God? I wish I had somebody that knows this God. See, because if you don't know him, we need to stop right here and introduce him to some of you. Is there anybody in the house that knows this God? Somebody look at your neighbor and say, "I know him.
I know him.
I know him. I know him. I know him." And so he said, not only is he a true God, but everything that comes out of him is true. You don't believe me? John chapter 1, he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." And then he goes on, the psalmist says about this Word, he says, "This Word that was with him in the beginning," he says, "this Word has been true from the beginning." Before God released it, it was true. And so as God released it, it didn't need anything from you for it to be manifested. That's why he says, "My word that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return void." Why? Because it was true before it was released. God don't need you for anything. He just chose you to give you everything. I wish I had somebody. Somebody needs to understand that's a good God. I wish I had somebody who knew my God, the God that I'm talking about. And so God has a plan, beloved. He says, "My word is what you need." And so he says, as I'm true, everything that is of me is true. My word is true. And so if I've given you my word, he says, if I can get it inside you. Psalms 51, he said, God desires his truth in your inward part. He said, if I can get my truth in your inward part, I can regulate my relationship with you. If I can get my truth in your inward part, we can work it out. I can bring you into this place of wisdom so that you understand clearly what it means and what is necessary to maintain a right relationship with me. He said, if I just get my word in you. And then he said, if I can get it in you and I can write it on the fleshy tables of your heart. Not an external word, but an internal word. Not an outside word, but an inside word. This is not an outside job, but an inside job. He said, if I can get my word in you, he said, and if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's where I wanted to get to right there, beloved. That's where I wanted to get. This word "free" means liberty. Somebody say liberty. This word free means, it means that there is a liberty that exempts you from something. Oh, I wish I had somebody. He said, if you've got my word in you, then you've got everything that you need. He says, so when life circumstances happen to you, unlike everybody else, you're exempt from that. Oh, I wish I had somebody who understood what I'm saying. He says, now when the enemy comes in like a flood, you're exempt from that. When the enemy tries to mess with you in the place of your mind, you're exempt from that. When the enemy tries to tell you you're not good enough, you're exempt from that. When the enemy tries to put a hold on the anointing that God has on your life, you're exempt from that. I wish I had somebody. Somebody say, I'm exempt from that. I don't have to go through that. I'm exempt from that. I'm exempt from that. He said, but you need to know, beloved, you've got to know the truth because it's coming. Yeah. Maybe that's why he says in scripture, he says, the hour cometh and now is.
Yeah.
the hour cometh and now is.
Yeah.
He said, you've been worshiping a God that you knew not of, but the hour cometh and now is.
Yeah.
He said, you've been going through the motions with this religion thing, but the hour cometh and now is. He said, you've been faking it until you could make it, but the hour cometh and now is. He said, you've been living off somebody else's faith, but the hour cometh and now is. He said, you've been selling yourself short and believing what the enemy has had to say, but the hour cometh and now is. He said, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers. I'm sorry. Are there any true worshipers in the house? He said, when the true worshipers, not the fake worshipers, the true worshipers, not the feigned worshipers, the true worshipers, the real deal, the genuine article, God's people. He said, when the true worshipers worship him in spirit and in truth, it's time out, beloved. It's time out for that fake stuff. You've got to know the truth. You've got to know the truth. It's only the truth that's going to set you free. It's only the truth that's going to sustain you. It's only the truth that's going to empower you. The hour cometh and now is. This is the hour for truth. This is the hour for power. This is the hour for liberty. This is the hour for God's people to stand up and declare the truth. Somebody say truth, 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 truth. Truth, truth. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Somebody here today need to hear the truth. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but by the Spirit of the Most High God, let me reaffirm. Let me tell you quite emphatically. Let me declare boldly. You are in the right place.
Yeah.
The hour cometh and now is. Somebody came in here today, and it's necessary for you to move forward. You've got to have the truth. For you to overcome your situation right now, you've got to have the truth. But, beloved, you would not believe that there are people of God who come into the house every Sunday and don't know the truth. Don't know the truth. They got saved, but they don't know the truth. And so every Sunday, we have to come back to the judgment hall and make up our mind. When the enemy beats us up, it's too late, beloved, to make up your mind about whether or not God's word is true. If I know it's the truth before the situation and the circumstance presents itself, I can deal with it a lot differently. Amen?
Amen?
And so we're not going to get you all excited, beloved, and then not tell you how to procure the truth for yourself. So you didn't close your Bibles, did you? Let's watch it. Watch this right here. In verse number 33, he says, now he entered the second time, and then he said, art thou the king of the Jews? Watch the process played out. He said, now the first thing that I've got to determine is, who are you? Who are you? He said, art thou the king of the Jews? Who are you? Somebody say, who are you? Let's look at your neighbor on this side and say, who are you? Look at your neighbor on the other side and say, who are you? See, the thing is, beloved, is when you know the truth about yourself, God will reveal to you the truth about the people around you. You with me? You with me? You don't get. Can I get a witness? Come here, Isaiah. The Bible said that in the day King Uzziah died, he said, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. And Isaiah said, woe is me, for I'm a man undone. Isaiah, in the presence of the Most High God, saw himself unclean. And then the scripture says, when God showed him himself, he says, he looked around him and he said, everybody around me is unclean. I'm surrounded by people that are unclean. But the Bible says that the angel came from the throne, placed a coal on his mouth, and cleansed him. And then he was ready for service. God goes on to say, who shall I send? And who shall go for me? Isaiah says, here am I, Lord. Send me. Send me. See, for some of you, beloved, the only thing that's keeping you away from your destiny is you don't know the truth. You just don't know the truth. You don't know who you are in God. So he says, art thou the king of the Jews? And that's a right place to start, beloved. Even John the Baptist, even after he had baptized Christ, and the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord descended upon the dove, and the heavens opened up, and a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Yet when John was in jail, John sent his disciples to Jesus. And he said, I want you to go to Jesus, and I want you to ask him this question. Are you he, or should we look for another? And if we'll be honest with ourselves, beloved, we've asked ourselves that question. We've asked God that question, maybe not publicly, but certainly in our private time. Are you he, or should we look for another? I've been waiting for breakthrough in my life. Are you he? Are you the one that's going to bring that breakthrough? Or should I look for another? Are you he? Or should I look for this deliverance that I require, that I desire? Should I look for it in someone? Should I look for it in something? Are you he? Or should I look for another? Lord, you've got to tell me, because I need deliverance. I need breakthrough. I need power. I need salvation. And if you're the one, I need you. Yeah. Are you he? Or should we look for another? Another. And now watch this. He asked a question. And now watch this. Jesus responds. Jesus says, say this of thyself, or did others tell you of me? The thing you need to understand about the truth, beloved, is the truth is a personal truth. It has to be your truth. It can't be the truth that somebody else told you about. It has to be your truth. Because until you receive it as your truth, it's simply a truth. We're waiting on you to adopt it as your truth and take possession of the truth that will change the rest of your life. But it has to be a personal decision. Christ asked his disciples, he said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. And some say that thou art Elias. And others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But beloved, when you stand before your God, when you prostrate yourself at the throne of his grace, when you inquire of him, when you lay on him the petitions of your heart, cast your burdens upon him, it has to be because you believe. That's why the Bible said, don't even pray if you don't believe it. It has to be because you believe. You can't stand on a word you don't believe. It has to be because you believe. It cannot be somebody else told me this. Some say I can do this. Some say I can have power if I do this. Some say this and some say that. But you need to know for yourself, because when the hour cometh, that now is, the only thing that's going to empower you is the thing that you know to be true for yourself. And so when the enemy comes against you, Paul says it this way. Paul says, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed because I know. Somebody say, I know. He said, I'm not ashamed because I know in whom I believe. He said, I'm not ashamed because I know God. I know him to be a true God. I know him to be a faithful God. I know him to be a sure God. I know him to be a God that never failed, not even one word of his promise. And he says now, because I know who he is, it makes it easier for me to receive his word. And so because I know he's a faithful God, I can receive his word. And Paul goes on to say, he said, I know in whom I believe and I'm persuaded. Somebody say, I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded. I'm sure. I have no doubt about the fact that he's going to show up and show himself strong in my behalf. And so when the circumstances of life happen, beloved, I can speak those things that be not as though they were. Because I'm not just speaking words that I memorize. I'm speaking the life that is mine because of the relationship I have with the giver of the word. See, the word means something because he gave me the word. See, if God has given you a word, beloved, you don't have to worry about whether or not that word is going to come to pass, because you have to understand this one thing. God is not a man. Oh, I wish I had somebody over here. God is not a man that he should lie, not the son of man that he should repent. Has God said it, and shall he not make it good? All I need is a word. And when life starts happening to me, the situations, the trials, the circumstances, I know all things are working to the good of them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. It has to be a personal word. Secondly, beloved, you'll notice this about the truth. The truth now is independent of anything else. It doesn't need anything else. Watch this, the way he responded. He said, am I a Jew? See, the truth is not a respecter of person. The truth is unbiased. He said, am I a Jew? And then he goes on to say, he said, your own people sold you out. He said, it is your people in your chief priest that sent you, delivered you unto me. He said, what have you done wrong? See, beloved, this is not, you cannot depend even on church folk to give you the truth. And the deception, beloved, is that you should be dependent upon them to give you the truth. But the Bible said that even church folk get it wrong. Can I get a witness? Come here, Saul. You might know him as Paul, but before he was Paul, he was Saul. And before Saul became Paul, Saul had great zeal for doing the things of the religious folks. The Bible says Saul went out to capture Christians. Yeah. Saul went out to capture the followers of Christ. And Paul was sincere in what he did. But let me tell you, beloved, he was sincerely wrong. You see? There's nothing more dangerous than a person who believes themselves to be right, even though they are completely wrong. That's why the Bible says it's the fool that will say, even before he tries to discover the truth for himself, there is no God. That's a fool. He's dangerous. The Bible says that when Paul came into the truth, it changed the whole course of his life. When Paul had an encounter on the Damascus Road with the light, the true light, it changed the course of his life. And watch what he did, beloved, after his life was changed. He pursued the truth with just as much zeal as he did the lie. Oh, I wish I had somebody. See, when we was out in the world, beloved, we were diligent in getting down with our get down. We were diligent in that we put a lot of work in getting down with our get down. I'm not going to go any further than that, because if I say anything more, I'd be dating myself in front of these young folk. But let me tell you, beloved, young folk, we pursued our interests with just as much zeal as you do. And so it would not be right for us now to hold you in self-righteousness, to keep you in bondage. See, you've got to get to that place yourself, young folk. And the people in the house have to acknowledge, I wasn't always saved. Yeah. That's why he said, he said, what have you done wrong? He said, your people, your own people have created now, has given now you over to me. He said, now I'm seeing what I want to see. I'm seeing it in your people. I'm making a judgment upon you because of what I see in your people. Your people are self-righteous. So I'm making a judgment on you. Yeah. Your people say they profess you as Lord. And your people praise you. And your people worship you. And then I see your people outside of the church. And your people cuss me out. And your people are doing. He said, what's wrong with this picture? There's something wrong here. But now watch this. Watch what Jesus said. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. For if my kingdom were of this world, then would my people fight that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. He said, but now my kingdom is not from hence. See, the truth, beloved, the truth stands alone. The truth doesn't need anyone to support it. The truth stands alone. The truth is the truth. And that's why, beloved, sometimes you might not agree with me, but sometimes it's necessary when we really grab hold of the truth, it's necessary for us to separate ourselves from some things. We might even have to separate ourselves from some people. Certainly separate ourselves from a way of thinking, a frame of mind. The truth stands on its own. And then the scripture says, he goes on and says, so you have a kingdom. He says, so that means that you are a king. And Christ says it this way. He said, thou sayest that I am. He said, but to this end was I born. For this cause did I come into the world. He says, to bear witness of the truth. You see, there was so much darkness in the world, there needed to be one who would bear witness of the truth. He said, the lie was in the world, and the Bible says that even the light that is in Christ came into the world, and the world comprehended it not. He says, the darkness did not have a weapon that could stand against the light. So when the light came in, the darkness had to flee. When the truth comes in, the lie has to flee. He says, I came to bear witness of the truth. And so Pilate asked the question, what is the truth? You see, beloved, we've arrived now once again at this place. He asked, what is the truth? And I like it, beloved, when Jesus went into the synagogue. The Bible gives an account of this way. He says that he went into the synagogue, and as he was given the book, he said he opened up the scripture, and he opened up the scripture to this place. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. I want to tell you today, beloved, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he has anointed me to preach the gospel, the truth, the word of peace, the word that will deliver you. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor so that you can be free from whatever it is that you're lacking. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to those who are without. And he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That's what Christ said. He said, he sent me to mend hearts. He sent me to heal the broken heart. He said, he sent me now. He sent me now to preach now deliverance unto the captives and recovering of sight unto the blind. He sent me to set at liberty them that are bruised. God sent me with a word today, beloved, to them that are in bonds. You can be free today. God sent me with a word today for them who are bound by the spirit of poverty, bound by a spirit of depression, bound by a spirit of guilt, bound by a spirit of unforgiveness, bound by whatever it is that the world has tried to keep you from. But the God that we serve has anointed me to preach the truth today. And if you'll receive the truth, you can be free. You can be free. Somebody say free. 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 Whatever it is that you're bound to, you can be free today. Somebody say free. I'm free from guilt. I want to be free. See, what you have to understand about this truth, beloved, is it is not a worldly truth. It's a kingdom truth. And in this truth, the king don't want nothing from you. The king is trying to give something to you. The Bible says that God doesn't require anything from us. What he wants to do is he wants to give to us. And the way that he operates is he gives you the truth. And he says if you allow that truth to influence you, to persuade you, you can be free. That's faith, beloved. That's faith. Even the very word faith means to be persuaded. To be persuaded. I heard the truth and I'm persuaded. That's the truth. I heard the truth and I'm persuaded that that's what I need. I heard about healing and I'm persuaded I don't have to be sick. I heard about deliverance and I'm persuaded I don't have to be bound anymore. That's faith. That's faith. That's faith. Faith is not wishing for anything but to happen, beloved. Faith is knowing. Being absolutely persuaded. That's faith. That's faith. Faith is not what they've been selling in the church. No, faith is not wishing on anything. Faith is not declaring things that you don't even believe, even as the words come forth out of your mouth. No, faith is having come to that place of decision. Acknowledge God in my life. Ascended to the truth of his word and resting now in the confidence of this newfound knowledge. That's faith. Somebody say that's faith.
That's faith.
That's faith.
That's faith.
That's faith. That's faith. And then, beloved, he says here, he says that as he finished saying these things, he went out again unto the Jews. And he said to the Jews, he says, in him I find no fault at all. He said, but you have a custom that I should deliver unto you one at Passover. You have a custom. You have a tradition. You have a habit. And so he says, are you going to go with the truth or are you going to conform to your custom? Are you going to conform to the tradition? I've come to this place of truth time and time again. But as I left, I conformed to my habit. I have a habit of going to church because that's the thing to do. I have a habit of going to Bible study because that's the thing to do. I have a habit of paying tithes because that's the thing to do. I have a habit of speaking the right things. That's the thing to do. I have the habit of looking at somebody else's praise and trying to emulate that myself. That's the thing to do. I have the habit of accepting the lie and being afraid to let anyone else around me know that the reason why I cannot be empowered in this word is simply because I don't know the truth. And I don't want to let anybody know I don't know the truth. But if you listen to the scripture said that as the sower sows, he said the truth is only going to find good soil one out of every four times. And so if that one is not you, look to your left. Look to your right. There might be someone sitting there who did not, before this day, have the complete truth.
Yes, Lord.
I didn't say that. The Bible did.
Yes.
So he says, now watch this. The Bible says here, he says, and they all cried out and said, no, not this man, but Barabbas. Uh-huh. And the scripture says, now Barabbas was a robber.
Yeah.
This word robber means a false teacher, a thief. The Bible says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, how's he going to do it? With a lie. God says, I've come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. He came to steal, to kill, and to destroy, and to deceive you with a lie.
Yeah.
This day, beloved, the truth has been set before you. But just as the enemy does with everything else, the lie has been put forth at the same time.
Yeah.
Are you going to move forward in the truth? Or are you going to conform to your custom? The Bible says we have to prove God's word.
Yeah.
I beseech you by the mercies of God that you not conform to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. By taking that truth and allowing that truth to transform you.
Yes.
The things that you believe and the way that you live your life. And then he said, so that you might be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
Beloved, you are the proof of God's truth.